As we come to our study for Father's Day today, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 31, and Exodus 34, verses 23 and 24. So you may want to go ahead and mark that passage in Exodus for later. But as I was praying about Father's Day sermon with everything that's going on in the world, the things we've had to deal with, I thought about the year 2020 and how it's been so different from so many years that we've gone through. You know, we've gone through ups and downs and highs and lows and those kind of things in our nation, and also, you know, individually in our homes, as churches. But with having to deal with some of the new things we're dealing with COVID-19 and all the social distancing and things, I look out now and some have masks on. I've seen those with gloves on and those kind of things, and things that we didn't have to worry about before seemed to be concerned about that we're having to consider now. But also with the racial tensions and things that have really risen again, for some of us a little bit older, we've gone through some of this before and had really hoped and prayed that we were moving past this, because I was hoping for this generation that they would not have to deal with those issues, that we would be beyond that, especially as a Christian witness in our nation, that we would see those reaching out to love those of all persuasions, of all colors, all nations, those that are like us, those that are different from us. But, you know, as I look at things, I'm not one who has my head buried in the sand. I'm not falling for this thing for white privilege. But I feel like this is the matter. We need to be reconciled with a holy and a righteous God. We don't need to get caught up in the terminologies of the world. We don't need to get caught up in the things of the world. But yet we need to be making a difference to transform lives in the world. It starts with our lives. It starts in our homes. Debbie, that song was so appropriate to sing about Christian homes. Is the message today really is talking to the men, but it's really talking to each one of us about really being committed to Christ and making a difference in our homes and in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our state, in this nation, and around the world. And so as I was preparing for today's message and I was reading and trying to seek the Lord's will, he took me this passage of Scripture and I read it, and to be honest with you, it rocked me. To think about where we are today as a nation and how we in many ways are just like Israel was at the time that Ezekiel was writing to them. If you know much about the prophet Ezekiel, he was called to share with a hard-nosed people to basically repent and turn to God. And folks, I don't tell you, I don't know of a time that would come closer to that time than now. Is even among Christians, such a hard-nosed, hard-headed, hard-hearted people. What I mean by that is there's things you expect from the world, from those that are lost. But when you begin to see posts on social media from Christians, from pastors, from Christian university presidents, and things that are not honoring to God, not lifting up the name of God, harmful to people around us, the church has been silent too long. And we need to speak out. And Ezekiel's challenging every one of us from all walks of life, all areas of life, that we need to repent. I know a lot of people are already sitting here saying, well, I haven't done anything to repent of. But you know what? We need to speak out, and the silence is a large part of what we need to repent for. Not that maybe we've done something verbally, not that we've done something physically to someone, but that we've not said it's wrong. And we've not tried to stop it and join others who are trying to stop it. Beginning in verse 23 of chapter 22, Ezekiel says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that's not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst." And look at verse 28. It says, "Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar. seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. And so beginning with the prophets, first of all, as one who is a prophet, Ezekiel's saying, listen, there are a lot of false prophets out there that are saying things and saying, thus says the Lord, that the Lord has never spoken to them, never told them to say. They're flat out lies. As he says, he has plastered, they have plastered them. What he's saying is like where Jesus told the Pharisees, you're like whitewashed tombs. And what he's talking about is that whitewashing, that plastering, is you look good on the outside, but you're just defiled on the inside and decaying. You know, as Christians, a lot of times in the South, we have a history of saying one thing out of our lips when we were certain groups of people and saying it in all the right ways of sounding, you know, good Christian people. But yet when we are alone or with another group of people, how we tend to speak differently. And I want to say that it's something about getting behind a computer or getting on a cell phone. And if you can turn this down, it's a little hot. But it's something about when you get on that cell phone is how all of a sudden people become very brave in what they say, but also how they also say things without thinking. And I think the first thing we need to do before we get on those things and start posting emails and on social media is we need to take time, stop, and pray about is what I'm saying, is it glorifying to God or am I just jumping in with the fray of the world? Social media can be a good thing, but it also can be a very harmful thing. A very hurtful thing. And when we're seeing people that come to church and they want to profess they love all peoples and stand in pulpits and profess the same thing, that we're to love all peoples, but yet turn around and do things and post things that are contrary to that, folks, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to humble ourselves and get on our knees before the Lord. And he's saying here that these prophets, is the land was not blessed in the sense that they would not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. As God is bringing his wrath upon them, and he's doing this because first thing, he doesn't mention the politicians, he doesn't mention the government, he'll get to that, but the first thing he says is his prophets, those who are supposed to be proclaiming the word of God. He describes them as like in the midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. Now, we're called to proclaim the word of God to the lambs of God, not to be destroying them. But when I read about a roaring lion, I read it as a description of Satan. And so as I read this, he's saying that you are being used of Satan in telling these lies from hell and proclaiming these things as those things as if they were professed by God. And they're not. So we need to quit worrying about focusing on the things of the world and the way of the world. We need to focus on the word of God, and we need to focus on the living God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word and not be trying to destroy and tear down people. But he says they have devoured people. You know, a lot of times we see on TV where people were being beaten and things like that happen. And after they've survived the beating, it's not the beating that has traumatized them so bad, even though they may have been atrociously attacked. It's the things that were being said to them as they're doing that, and the things that are said to them before that, and the things that lead up to that, and the things said after that. As folks, we need to have compassion on all people, and we need to have love for all people. We were told last week to honor all people and to love them. And so as we're talking about fathers today and trying to talk about man up and trying to be that man of God, I'm leading to this point, but I know some of you are already trying to check out on me here because you're not appreciating and enjoying what you hear, but it's the word of God. He says, they have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in their midst. What he's beginning to say is, listen, there's a lot of these folks that are in this primarily for the money. They're there for the wrong reasons. We're at a time now when there are men of multiple colors that are saying things of racial hatred towards one another and against a group of people that we don't need to lump everybody into that sum. They're bad people of every race and every nation, every color. We know that. It's an evil world we live in. But it's just like cops. We can't label all cops as bad cops because the actions of a few. But what they're doing is they're doing this so they can line their pockets. And they're like hirelings. And they're doing this for themselves, not for the good of people, not for the good of God, not for the glory of God, and not for the land that we live in to be reconciled. They're creating further division from the pulpits. Because see, though we have little influence in the world today because of our silence and our lack of continuing witness as Christians, they still look to the churches and to the pastors and say, listen to what they're saying. Look at how they're behaving. You know, they're looking for opportunities to try to run Christianity down and to say that it's just a religion. It's not anything that's real. But I don't know about you, but I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know who I belong to. And I want you to know that I want people to hear the truth. I want people to be challenged by the Word of God. I want people to have a chance to respond to Him and to be saved. When He says in verse 28 that her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, you know, all of these things are part of a scheme they have come up with to try to profit themselves and to further themselves rather than the concern and the well-being for their brothers and sisters in Christ and the well-being for all humankind. Folks, we're living in that world today. It's not just during the time of Ezekiel with Israel. But he's challenging prophets of God, those who proclaim the word of God, to speak truth and to repent and turn back to God. The next thing he goes into is verse 26 with the priest. He said, "Our priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them." You know what he's saying here? Is I have given them an order and a way to lead according to my word, to point people to me. And at this time it was through sacrifices. But what was happening was, Malachi calls them out on this a little bit later, is they were offering profane sacrifices. And they were offering those that were lame, those that were diseased, and those things, and keeping back and holding on to the good. And they were holding on to what they thought was best for themselves. And so again, they're seeking for profit for themselves, but they're also not even declaring the things that are clean and unclean and that are holy and unholy. We live in a time today where the pulpits are filled with men who act more like adolescents and want to joke and have fun and talk about the things in the sports world and all these things. When I enter this pulpit, I want to preach the word of God, and I know it returns, that it doesn't return void. But that it falls upon ears and hearts, and God works in hearts and lives and changes lives when the word of God is proclaimed. But it's not about what happened in a football game or what's happened in sports in the world. It's about what is God doing in our lives and what are we doing to respond to Him. And so He's challenging us as priests and preachers to turn back and proclaim the Word of God and not to be taking advantage of people, not to be deceiving people, and not to hold back. Let me just say for Christians as well, is that what He's saying is that, you know, for a lot of us, we come in with this idea that, you know, when I get saved, you know, that I commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to be a living sacrifice, but it's like a one-time thing. And what we're going to see in just a little bit is to be a man of God or a woman of God, it's a continual, everyday offering of ourselves to be that living sacrifice. But it's not a one-time thing that we commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved one time. We understand that. We're filled with the Spirit of God one time in that sense of being at the time we're saved, the Spirit comes to dwell within us. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the filling happens over and over again as we surrender ourselves daily. Some of us need to be filled with the Spirit of God and get that evil out of us. Get this worldliness out of us. Before we get on computers and before we get on phones and start typing on social media and espousing the things of culture rather than things of the kingdom. And so he is challenging us, but he goes on about the princes in verse 27 too. He says, "Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people and to get dishonest gain." Now I want to say that, you know, I hope and pray, and I know there was a time, and I know there's still a lot of them today, that when people go to serve as civil servants, and that's what he's really referring to in our modern time today, is that when they sign up to want to serve the community and serve the people, they go out with good intentions, wanting to better our nation, wanting to better our communities and those things. But there are some, and it's very clear who they are, that are there for their own pocketbook. They're not worried about their constituents. They're not worried about the communities. They're not worried about families and what's best for families. They're only concerned about what pockets money for them and how they can gain through robbing and taking from others. And as we see this, it goes from top to bottom. And, you know, I notice everybody wants to blame the government. And it has a great responsibility. But it used to be that the church was the voice. And the government responded in response to the church. But we've got let that turn around backwards now to where we're chasing after our tails and they're over there leading everything and going straight to hell. And it's time that we humble ourselves and get on our knees and get up and begin to speak out and speak words of truth. Notice what he says in verse 29. Then the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the strangers. Sound like what we've been seeing on the news a lot here lately? Everybody's upset about the rioting, the looting, and all that stuff for good reason. Certainly believe in law and order. Certainly believe in the fact that we shouldn't be destroying other people's property and those things for any reason. But here's the thing. When it starts in the church is not where it should be, and the government is not where it should be, then the people are not going to be where they should be either. We're not setting the example. We're not living lives before them. We're not proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And people are dying, going to hell every day. And yet we're concerned only about our properties and our pleasure and our comfort. Folks, it's time to wake up. We weren't saved and called and set apart for that. He said, I set you apart to be holy because I am holy. But he also sets apart to be witnesses for him as ambassadors to point others to him. Here's the key verse of this message today is in verse 30. He says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. No one. Not one man could God find. We are living in a godless society today. And God is looking for men to stand up as men of God and to man up and be the spiritual leaders in the home and in the church and in the community in our land. We're going to have a deacon election coming up here in several weeks. Letters are going to be going out to men saying, we've recognized you're biblically qualified to serve. But also here are some expectations of the church that as a deacon, this is what a deacon does and this is how a deacon serves. And there's going to be a need to find three deacons to replace those that are rolling off. But I want you to begin to pray now. If you receive that letter, you're qualified biblically. The only thing that disqualifies you is your lack of commitment and faithfulness to the Lord and a willingness to stand in the gap and to serve. And so I'm challenging you men now to begin to pray. Is Lord, if it's your will that you desire this for me, I'm not looking for it. But if that's what you need and that's what you want, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to proclaim the word of God and I'll be able to stand with my brothers in Christ against evils that may come against this church, your bride, inside or outside. You see, it's a desperate time that we're in. It was a desperate time during the time of Ezekiel. And it's time for men to grow up and mature in the word of God, in the leadership roles in the home, and the leadership roles in the church. And ladies, I love you and I appreciate you. And I know a lot of you love to see your husbands and others step up and serve in some of these roles so that you can say, I didn't want that anyway, but I'll serve in the ways I can, the ways I should, and I'll be glad to give up some of these things. But you'd also like to have the help. And I'm joining you in that. I'd love to have it too. And it's here. I'm not throwing off on our men. But I'm just saying this, in every church that there's a void of men of God that are willing to stand in the gap, that are willing to stand against evil, that are willing to speak out and defend the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about taking up arms and all these kind of crazy things. I'm talking about being covered by the armor of God, standing firmly in the word of God, and being willing to battle spiritual battles, what I'm talking about, against powers and principalities. You know, it's not so much that we're worried about people coming in here and destroying the church or causing harm with guns and those things. That may happen. But most importantly is Satan's attacks day after day, starting in the home. That's why it's important that you're creating Christian homes, that you're teaching the word of God to your wife and to your children and your grandchildren, and that you're pouring into them each and every day, and that they too are coming to faith and living out their faith, not your faith. They can't live out your faith. They can't be saved by your faith. But they can come to faith by your witness, by your testimony, and by your life lived before them as an example to draw them, to point them to a better way of life. That there's a difference in your life. You know, as we're talking about this, I want to turn over now to Exodus chapter 34. And as we turn there, we're going to be in verses 23 and 24. But before we do, I just want to share with you real quick, as I was talking about the priests and the prophets and the fact that they're not leading the way they should, they're not proclaiming the word. There was a time, like I said before, when everyone came to the church, not to the government. And even when there was a matter of dispute among the people, as Christians, we came to the church and we settled it through the church. Rather than go out into the world with these judges that, hey, when we live in a world today where they're creating laws where not only can you kill unborn babies, but you can kill them when they're born in some states we live in. And then you can turn around and say that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And all these things are okay in the world, but they're not okay according to God's word. And judges are passing, approving the laws been passed and taking sides of those of the world rather than the ones that would stand for the truth. We're at a time we need to come back to the church. We need to be faithful in our worship in the church. In verse 8 says, if a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge between the degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. You shall do according to the sentence which they pronounce upon you in that place which the Lord chooses, and shall be careful to do everything according to all that they order you, according to the sentence of the law in which they instruct you. According to the judgment which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and the people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. You want to see change in this nation? You want to see a change in the church? You want to see a change in your life? Begin to get yourself committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then when you have a dispute or you have a problem, is we work through that here in the church. And if people refuse that, and when God deals with them and God will, he says, vengeance is mine. It's not our vengeance, it's his vengeance. But when he deals with those that refuse to obey, and he will, word will spread quickly. We need to turn back to God. We need to fear God. We need to respect the body of Christ again. But we live in a time now where people come and go and take and choose whatever they want and whenever they want to come to services or whatever they want to hold to in Scripture and all these things, whatever fits their lifestyle. And I'm here to tell you that's not acceptable to God. If you want to know about being a kingdom man, I just finished a study with seven different men, called Kingdom Men from Tony Evans. He's an African-American pastor, been pastoring for over 50 years. Wise man of God. And you know, as I look at the study and what he described there, I want to share with you real quickly how he describes a kingdom man, because I don't want to mess this up. He says, as a male who has learned to live his life under the lordship of Christ and for God's kingdom agenda is the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over all of life. Tony's been a man who's been a faithful father, pastor, husband, grandfather, and a kingdom man. We've got men like that here that have done those very things. As I'm looking out now, I see several of you here that I know that you've been a faithful man of God for a lot of years. But you know what? There's not a time where he says retire in the Bible. He'll retire you when he calls you home. But until then, you're to be faithful. And you're to be serving him. But I want you to listen to how you can become a godly man. He says in Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 23, he says, three times in the year all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year. Now, he is renewing the covenant. Excuse me. He's renewing the covenant he had established in chapter 23 of Exodus. And the feast and the festivals and everything is there. And what he's made clear in chapter 23 and he's reaffirming here is this. When God says something two and three times, you need to listen. And he's saying, listen, men, you are to be the ones that lead your family as the head of the household to participate in these festivals, to participate in these feasts, to participate in worshiping God. You're to prepare everything for them when they come. And I know a lot of times we think about feasts and festivals, Southern Baptists, we're thinking, well, the ladies will have all that taken care of. We'll just get out of the way, and they're going to do all the cooking. They're going to do all the serving. They're going to do all the cleaning. Let me just say this, is that's not the way it started. That's not the way it should be. We all should take part in that. We all should be involved in helping and serving and preparing that we can come before the Lord and worship him. But you know, the thing that stands out to me is he says, I want all your males to come to me three times a year. Now think about that. There's a lot of you here would love that if I only had to come three times a year before God. I know what you're thinking, Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. We got those Christians, or those professing Christians, on the rolls. It's the only time you see them. Might pop in for Mother's Day or Father's Day. Other than that, you know, you don't see them very much. But let me just say this, that's not what he's talking about. What he was telling them was, you're living in a land among enemies, and we are too in a sense, is that we live in this world. And the enemy is not the people, it's the ones that they serve is Satan. And with that, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that we need to then humble ourselves and understand that we need to get away to be with the Lord regularly. He says three times, but I'm going to tell you, regularly, we need to get away and be alone with the Lord and spend time with him. You know what he's telling them is, you leave these enemies all around you. They're not going to attack your families. They're not going to loot your properties. All these things that you're concerned about. And I want to say among Christians, all the things that when you're trying to have a men's Bible study, and I'm speaking to you men today, for 13 and a half years, I've tried hard to have Bible studies, and I've heard more excuses. Man, I just wish I could have wrote a book on them by now. Of excuses why we're too busy and too many things going on, and this thing can't, for reason, that reason, can't do it. Listen, you do everything else you want to do. It's a matter of whether you want to do it or not. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to lead your family and grow, and that's what we're trying to do, is help each other through iron sharpening iron, is to do that very thing, to grow in the Word and the application of the Word in your life, that you then can go back and share that with your family and teach them, and they can be challenged and they can grow as a family. But it starts with the home, and it starts with the men. It starts with the dads. I love you, ladies, and I appreciate you. Couldn't do anything without you. I know that. I'm speaking to the men today. I do want to say this to you, though. When it's time to go, let them go. I promise you, they'll come back better if you'll let them go, if they'll commit themselves, and they'll apply the Word of God to their lives. But he's saying that three times a year you do that, and then trust me, I'll protect your family. I'll protect your belongings. I'll bless you for coming. I don't know about you, but I want a blessing in my life. I want to know the Lord more intimately. I want to draw closer to Him. I want Him to reveal Himself more to me each and every day. And you know what? It doesn't happen by chance. And it doesn't happen just because you turn the TV on and listen to some preacher on television. It happens when you get into the Word of God and you begin to study God's Word yourself. And maybe somebody's teaching it. But as you're studying the Word, you're digging in there yourself and trying to know God more intimately. You cannot and will not do that and not be changed. And I think that's what a lot of men are afraid of. They're afraid what it's going to look like. You see, because as Christians, we have this idea that when we make a commitment to the Lord and we get saved, is we're making ourselves a living sacrifice and it's a one-time deal. Here he tells them, come repeatedly, three times a year. Every year comes three times. The next year comes three times. And he's telling them it's a continual offering of sacrifice, of praise and worship. And for the Christian who's going to grow, who's going to lead, who's going to become one day a man of God who will build a wall and stand in the gap. You know who he's referring to there? He's referring to Moses. If you read over in Psalm 106, verses 19 through 23, he talks about his chosen one, talking about Moses, and he's talking about the fact he interceded on behalf of the Israelites. And he's talking about over there when they were facing against the Amalekites, and you remember that he sent Joshua down, and Joshua went and fought, and when he stood there and held his hands up and held that staff up, as long as he stood there holding the staff, Israel was winning. But when he got tired and he got weak and that staff began to come down, then the Amalekites began to take over and begin to win. And so he had men named Aaron and Ur that came alongside him and held his arms up. And they came alongside him as a brother who worshiped God and loved their people and loved the land and wanted to honor God. And they came alongside him. And that is what we need today in this nation more than anything. In this church and every church is men of God coming together, humbling ourselves, interceding on behalf of our families, on behalf of our church, on behalf of our nation. And then getting up from here and going proclaiming. This is what the Lord says. Not as these false prophets and priests, but in truth. Worshiping him in spirit and truth and then proclaiming that to those in the world. If you want to put stuff on social media, put scripture on social media. Tell them about how they can get saved. But don't get caught up in those worldly arguments about racism and all these other things that's going on out there. Love all people. Teach that in your homes. That's what I grew up with. That's what my children grew up with. And I pray, dear God, for my grandchildren to grow up with that. One day, maybe this world will be changed. If not through us, and our witness through theirs. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, my heart's heavy. I love these men, and I love your bride, the church. But Lord, you called me to share with today. A word of challenge to all of us, to myself and to them. Lord, that there might be change. There might be a difference in our homes, in our church, in our nation. And Lord, in this world. And the only way that change is going to come about is through your Son, Jesus Christ, being lifted up and lives being saved and changed forevermore. And Lord, I pray today if there's someone here who needs to just come today and humble themselves before you, to intercede, Lord, to ask for forgiveness or to intercede on behalf of their family or for the church, Lord, they would come today, this altar's open. Lord, may you be glorified through all things we say and do. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.